السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Two days ago, it was the 23rd of March, which is a very important day in the Ahmadiyya community's calendar. On this day, God Almighty's promise to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fulfilled, and the Holy Prophet's prophecy came true, and the age of Islamic Renaissance began. God Almighty gave His permission to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, or should we say, He gave permission to Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian to declare himself the promised Messiah and the Imam Mahdi. The objective of his advent, on the one hand, was to put forward clear arguments for establishing the unity of Allah the Almighty in this world, and on the other hand, he was to prove Islam's superiority over all other religions by demonstrating it to be a complete code of life. And he was to fill the hearts with the love of Allah's last Prophet, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, we are the fortunate ones that belong to the community of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in view of the importance of this day, 2 days ago, various conferences, as I mentioned before, are held to commemorate the promised Messiah Day. Many such conferences were held, which highlighted the objectives of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam's advent, and the purpose of establishing his community. But while doing so, members of the community also expressed their gratitude to God Almighty for enabling us to recognize the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi in accordance to the command of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also in enabling us to convey the Holy Prophet's greetings to him. We should remember that while accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam is a cause of celebration and being grateful, however, it also places additional responsibilities upon our shoulders. We need to recognize these responsibilities and focus on fulfilling them. What are these responsibilities? These responsibilities are to advance the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's works for which he was sent. Only then will we be counted among those who were to create a new earth and new heavens by recognizing the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. For an understanding of these responsibilities, we have to look at the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam himself. As to what were the objectives of his advent, and how far have we understood those, and to what extent do we follow them, and how much part do we play in propagating them? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam writes, "The reason why God Almighty has commissioned me is to clear the ill will that had come between man and God Almighty, and also to re-establish a relationship of love and sincerity. Secondly, I have been commissioned to put an end to religious warfare through the expression of truth and by laying down the foundations of peace. Thirdly, I am to reveal the religious truths that the world has been blinded to. Fourthly, I have been commissioned to demonstrate the spirituality buried under carnal darkness. Then, there are divine powers in man that are only visible through focus or prayers. And I am to demonstrate those not only through my words, but through practical demonstration. And most importantly, I have been commissioned to plant the seed of Allah's unity that is free of all impurity of believing He has any partners. However, all of this will not happen owing to my own prayers. Rather, it will happen through the powers of God, who is the God of the heavens and the earth. Thus, in this extract, seven basic and highly important matters have been mentioned, which are the need of this day and age. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has summarized them in this extract. And when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that God Almighty has sent him for this task, it is evident that it means his followers will instill all of these things within them and will demonstrate the beautiful teaching of Islam to the world, and also that Islam is a living religion. Therefore, our first and foremost responsibility is to strengthen and increase in our relationship with God Almighty. We should try and increase in our bond, love, and devotion with God Almighty and His prophets and His religion. We should tell the world that with the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Religious wars have now come to an end. This is an objective of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. It is this true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam alone who can make the world into one community, who God Almighty has sent in the mantle of all the prophets. According to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam's mission, we are to demonstrate the beautiful teachings of Islam and its truth to the world. For this, we would need to demonstrate good role models and also models of ever-increasing spirituality. And we must remove any selfish desires. We need to show to the world that even today God Almighty listens to and answers the prayers of His sincere and devoted servants, just as He did before. Even today, He provides the means for granting comfort to the hearts of His devoted servants. We have to tell the world that God Almighty is one and everything else will eventually come to an end. And He alone is ever living. Thus, our life and its continuation lies in us forging a connection with Allah the Almighty. Therefore, when we commemorate the promised Messiah Day on the 23rd of March, we should also assess ourselves and see whether we who have accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam have developed all those things within us which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam came for to spread in the world. And that are we striving to bring about that revolutionary change within ourselves? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned about the purpose and objective of his advent in other places also. I shall present some of those extracts. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, "This humble one has been sent for the sole purpose of conveying to God's creatures that of all the faiths present in the world, the true faith which is in accord with the divine will is the one which has been brought by the Holy Quran, and that the door that opens into the house of salvation is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in another place states, "Listen to this with your hearts, that what is the purpose of my advent? The true purpose and objective of my advent is for the reformation and support of Islam. One should not think that I have come in order to teach a new Sharia, i.e. religious law, or to introduce new commandments, or that a new book will be revealed. Certainly not. And according to me, one who entertains such a thought is faithless and misguided." The Sharia, i.e. the religious law, has been perfected and completed with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no new Sharia can come. The Holy Quran is the seal of all books. There is no room for even an iota of a change. However, it is true that the blessings and beneficence and the fruits of the Holy Quran's teachings and guidance have not ended. They will remain afresh and ever-present in every age, and as a proof of these blessings and beneficence, God Almighty has sent me. The current state of Islam is very weak and fragile, and this is certainly not hidden from everyone. It is widely acknowledged that Muslims have succumbed to all kinds of degeneration and deterioration, and are going into decline in every respect. They have their tongues, but the hearts do not accompany what they say. And Islam has been left orphaned. In such circumstances, God Almighty has sent me for its support and for its guardianship. He has sent me in accordance to His promise, and He states, "Verily, it is we who have sent down this exhortation, and most surely we are its guardians." In other words, God Almighty has taken it upon Himself to propagate and safeguard the teaching of Islam. And it is for this purpose that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has been sent. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, if Islam was not given support, help, and protection at this time, then when else would it need it? The situation in the 14th century is akin to the situation at the time of Battle of Badr, regarding which God Almighty states, and Allah had already helped you at Badr when you were weak. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that this verse carries a prophecy that when in the 14th century Islam will be in a fragile and weak state, in accordance with his promise of safeguarding, God Almighty will help Islam. Thus, why are you surprised that he has helped Islam? I am not concerned as to people calling me a Dajjal and a liar, and false accusations are leveled against me. In fact, it was bound to happen that I should also be afforded the same kind of treatment as given to the prophets before me, and that I also be subjected to this ancient practice. Regarding the objectives of the promised Messiah's advent, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, there are two objectives for my advent. Firstly, for the Muslims, and that is to establish Muslims on true taqwa, i.e. righteousness and purity, so that they become such true Muslims as God Almighty has willed in the connotation of the word Muslim. And secondly, for the Christians, to break the cross and to diminish the artificial God created by them, so that the world may completely forget Him, and only the one true God may be worshipped. After observing these two objectives, why do these people oppose me? They should remember that those actions which are hypocritical and tainted with the foulness of this world shall perish in their own toxins. Can a liar ever succeed? Certainly, Allah guides not one who is a transgressor and a liar. The promised Messiah states, a liar's falsehood alone is sufficient enough to destroy him. However, what is done to establish the majesty and proof of God Almighty, and for the blessings of His Prophet, and God Himself has sent such a person, then the angels safeguard him. Who is it that can then destroy them? Let it be known that if my mission was merely a worldly business, then it will be obliterated and not a single trace of it will remain. However, if it is from God Almighty, and most certainly it is, then regardless of the opposition, it will grow and spread, and the angels will safeguard it, God willing. Even if a single person is not with me, and no one helps me, even then I am certain that God Almighty will cause my mission to succeed. I am not concerned of the opposition, and consider it necessary for the progress of my mission. It has never been that a prophet or a khalifa of God Almighty came to this world, and the world accepted him quietly. The world is strange. No matter how honest a person is, others will relentlessly continue to level allegations against him. After 127 years, we see that even today, the support and help of God Almighty is with the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And by the grace of God Almighty, this community is progressing. Therefore, it is our duty to bring about a pure change within ourselves, so that we can become the helpers in achieving those objectives of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, which he came for, and that we partake from those blessings, which is the objective of his advent, and can be attained only through accepting him. Otherwise, as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned, that he is not in need of any of us. God Almighty himself can help him through his angels, and grant success to his mission, which he is already doing. Speaking of the purpose of His advent, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, God Almighty has sent me so that I should reveal the hidden treasures and to cleanse the mud of denigration that has been slung on those shining jewels. God Almighty's sense of honor at this moment in time has risen and has willed to cleanse and purify the Holy Quran from the taint of every evil opponent's allegation. In short, how foolish will it be that we use force while the opponents seek to attack us with the pen, and in fact are doing it already? I openly tell you that in such an instance, if a person uses force in the name of Islam in order to defend it, then he will be bringing Islam into disrepute. Islam never intended to use force without any reason or without any need. As I mentioned that now the wars do not have any religious basis and are instead fought for worldly reasons. Thus, how unjust will it be if instead of the pen, the sword was shown to those who level allegations? With the passage of time, the characteristics of war have changed. Therefore, it is essential to first employ our hearts and mind and purify ourselves. Therefore, it is essential to first employ our hearts and mind and purify ourselves. Seek help and victory from God Almighty through righteousness. This is an unchangeable and firm law of God Almighty. And if Muslims want to succeed and thrive by means of verbosity, then it is not possible. God Almighty does not want empty boasts and verbosity. Rather, He wants true taqwa, i.e. righteousness, and likes true purity, as He states, that verily Allah is with those who are righteous and those who do good. Thus, we have to demonstrate the beautiful teaching of Islam by developing taqwa within ourselves. We also have to tell the other Muslims that the spread of Islam is dependent upon taqwa. Therefore, instead of increasing in injustice and cruelty, they should develop an increase in taqwa. The attacks carried out in the name of Islam do not support Islam, but bring it into disrepute. And killing innocent people incurs the displeasure of God Almighty. A few days ago, the killing of innocent people in Belgium, the terrorist attacks killing dozens of innocents and injuring hundreds, can never win the pleasure of God Almighty. And in this age, when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has made it explicitly clear that fighting and wars in the name of Islam are forbidden, therefore such actions incur the displeasure of God Almighty. In this day and age, no one can say that they have not heard the message. Everyone knows that this is a very clear message of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, that warfare in the name of religion is now forbidden. May God Almighty guide those Muslims who carry out such cruelties in the name of religion. Be they governments or groups, and may He enable them to pay heed to the words of the Imam of the age, and that may they desist from committing such atrocities and use the real weapon of this age which has been granted to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, be absolutely clear that the need for today is not the sword, but the pen. Our opponents raise objections against Islam and attempt to attack this true religion through various sciences and arguments. This has prompted me to take the weapon of the pen and demonstrate the inherent power and spiritual boldness of Islam in this era of scientific and intellectual progress. I was not worthy of this wall. It was indeed the grace of God Almighty and His unlimited blessings that He destined that the true worth of this religion is demonstrated at the hand of a humble person like me. At one point, I counted all the objections and criticisms raised against Islam, and their tally was nearly 3,000. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, "I believe this number would have increased by now." He says that no one should presume that the basis of Islam is so weak that 3,000 genuine objections can be raised against it. Not at all. These objections are based on misunderstandings and lack of awareness. However, I say to you truthfully that as I was counting these objections, I pondered over these objections as well. And at the root of all these objections are fundamental truths of Islam, which are not understood by those raising the objections. Indeed, in there is the wisdom of God Almighty, in that the ignorant raise objections, and the treasure of knowledge and wisdom is not revealed to them. And then to explain that Allah the Exalted has sent the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, to unveil the light of Islam, he said that the fundamentals of Christianity are such that even the Christians do not understand these. They carry on believing in their religion because they have to. So what can be said about their religion? The true faith is given by Islam. God Almighty has appointed me to demonstrate the light of Islam and show the truth about religions. The truth is that there is a God and there is only one God. I believe that even if divine scriptures such as the Quran and Bible were not found in this world, even then the oneness of God would still have proven itself, as this belief is reflected in human nature. To say God has a son is akin to killing God, as a son is needed to remember someone by. So if Jesus is the Son of God, then is God going to die? In short, the belief of Christianity not only shows no regard for the greatness of God, but also shows no understanding of human intellect. Their faith does not have the support of the heavenly light. There is not a single Christian who can demonstrate divine signs that a true believer can show. This superiority and preeminence is given to Islam only, that it has given divine signs of acceptance in every era. God has not deprived this age either. I am sent with the objective to demonstrate the truthfulness of Islam through divine signs, which are a part and parcel of Islam. Blessed is he who comes to see me with an open and inquisitive mind seeking the truth, and blessed is he who accepts the truth when it becomes clear. Then, to reject the erroneous belief of the Muslims that Jesus is living in heaven, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that I have been sent to demolish this belief from its root, which has infiltrated into Muslims from the Christians. He says, it has been explained clearly and categorically in the Holy Quran that Jesus was taken off the cross alive, and he survived the event of crucifixion. Sadly, as many afflictions have affected the religion of Islam over the last 1,000 years, the incidence of crucifixion was also misunderstood. Unfortunately, Muslims started to believe that Jesus was taken to the heavens alive, and that he will descend to the earth nearer to the Day of Judgment. However, God Almighty has appointed me as the messenger of the 14th century, so that I rectify all erroneous beliefs that the Muslims have adopted, and that I explain the truth of Islam to the whole world, and respond to all the external objections raised against Islam, and prove the other religions are false, especially the religion of the cross. i.e. Christianity. I have been sent to prove that the concepts of Christianity is flawed. To believe in these concepts is harmful for man and stunts his development and progress of spiritual faculties. At one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam addressed the question of what is the need for a Messiah at the present time. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, if we ignore all other needs, but by simply showing similarities with the Mosaic dispensation makes the need for a Messiah imperative. Forget about all other needs. Muslim Ummah needs the Messiah to prove its similarity with the dispensation of the Prophet Moses. That is, because the Messiah appeared 14 centuries after Prophet Moses. However, I only consider myself as a subordinate to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. But those who claim that the Messiah will return to this world in person, do they have any evidence to support their claim? If they cannot present any evidence to support their assertion, because they do not have any, then why do they claim something which is an addition to religion? It is best to avoid any additions to the religion, as this leads to a path of destruction. This is why Jews suffered the wrath of God, as they rejected a prophet of God. They ended up rejecting the prophet of God because they misinterpreted a metaphorical prophecy as literal. So a prophecy which was pronounced as a metaphor and as a figure of speech was taken literally by the Jews. This led to the whole nation being called accursed. And exactly the same situation is occurring today. This means that the Muslims are facing the same scenario today as was faced by the Jews in the past. I wish to cry at the state of Muslims. They have the example of the Jews in front of them. In 5 daily prayers, they pray to be saved from becoming the accursed people. And they know that the accursed people mentioned in the Holy Quran are the Jews. Then I am unable to understand why Muslims still follow their path. When the scenario is similar and a prophet has been appointed, then why do they still want Jesus to descend from the skies against the divine verdict? Prophet Jesus himself clarified about the advent of Prophet Elijah that the second coming of a prophet means a metaphorical second coming. And John represented the second coming of the Prophet Elijah. Despite this clear testimony, Muslims are not satisfied till they see Jesus descending from the heavens. But I challenge you that all of you and all your helpers can pray all you like, and then see if Jesus descends from the skies. I say with the strongest possible conviction that if you prostrate to pray for this all of your life, so much that your noses are rubbed off your faces, even then no one will descend from the skies. The one who God promised to send has already arrived. I wish that Muslims do understand this point and instead of opposing the Messenger of God, start to follow him and spread the true teachings of Islam in the world. And try to establish peace and justice all over the world. These Muslims need to be of those who serve Islam by demonstrating the true picture of Islam to the non-Muslim and irreligious community that opposes Islam. Mentioning 4 types of signs of his truthfulness, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, firstly, the sign of the knowledge of Arabic. I have been granted this since Muhammad Hussain Batalibi wrote that this humble one does not know even a single case of Arabic. Whereas I had never before claimed that I know a case of Arabic. Those who are well educated in Arabic speech and writing can comprehend its difficulties as well as keep in mind its qualities. The promised Messiah says, Maulvi Sahib, he means Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, has been observing from the very beginning how Allah the Exalted has miraculously granted help. It becomes very difficult when a word of the sophisticated language does not come to mind on its appropriate occasion. At that time, Allah the Exalted reveals those words. It is easy to make up a new and artificial language. However, the sophisticated language is difficult. Furthermore, I have published these books with a promise of handsome rewards and have said that you may require help from whomsoever you please. You may even include linguists. However, Allah the Almighty has assured me the fact that they will most certainly not be capable, as this sign has been granted to me from among the miracles of the Holy Quran owing to my subservience to the Holy Prophet. Secondly, the acceptance of prayers. During the composition of the Arabic books, I have experienced in what great abundance my prayers have been accepted. I have prayed upon every single word, holding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an exception, as his status is very high, and everything has been acquired through his mediation and by following him. I say that my prayers have been accepted in such great abundance, in similitude to which the prayers of no one else have been accepted. With the exception of the Holy Prophet, the prayers of no other prophet have been accepted in such great abundance as the promised Messiah's. I cannot say whether they are 10,000, 200,000, or any other figure, and some signs of acceptance of prayer are such that the whole world knows of them. The third sign is that of prophecies, i.e., the disclosures of the unseen. Even astrologers and soothsayers say some things by randomly guessing, one part or another of which is correct. Similarly, history tells us that there were also some soothsayers at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to foretell the unseen. For example, Sati was also a soothsayer. However, the distinction between the knowledge of the unseen of these randomly guessing fortune tellers and soothsayers and the disclosure of the unseen of the one appointed by Allah and the recipient of divine revelation is that the disclosure of the unseen of the recipient of divine revelation holds in it divine power and godly awe. The Holy Quran has clearly stated that he reveals not his secrets to anyone except to him whom he chooses, namely a messenger of his. Here, the word izhar, i.e. disclosure, manifests that it carries magnificence and power. Fourth sign is that of the intricacies and knowledge of the Holy Quran, as its knowledge is only disclosed to him who has been purified. As is the Holy Quran states, which none shall touch except those who are purified. I have many a time said that my opponents, as well as I, should write the commentary on a surah, and that it should be compared afterwards. However, no one showed any courage. Muhammad Hussein, etc., said that he does not know a case of Arabic. However, when the books were presented, he evaded it by giving a weak and subtle excuse that this Arabic is of a very low standard. However, he could not do as much as prepare and present even a single page, showing that this is Arabic. Thus, these are four signs which I have received especially for my truthfulness. Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib writes, he wrote this on 17th August 1899, that some days have passed that a person from Bareilly wrote to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, asking whether he is in fact that very promised Messiah whom the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam has foretold in the Ahadith. He said, take an oath in the name of Allah the Exalted and write a reply to this. Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, who used to give a concise answer to letters, says, I wrote one or two such sentences from the book of Taryaqul Qulub, which could have sufficed as an answer to this. This person, however, was not content with this, and wrote to me that I wished that Mirza Sahib take an oath and write with his own pen whether he is that very promised Messiah who has been mentioned in the Ahadith and the Holy Quran. Therefore, I placed ink, a pen and paper in front of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam after the evening prayer, and said that a person writes such and such. The promised Messiah immediately took the paper in his hand and wrote a few lines. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam wrote, I have already manifested this detailed affirmation given below to people whilst taking oath in my books. And I again write in this letter, taking oath in the name of God the Exalted, in whose hands lies my life, that I am that very promised Messiah whom the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has foretold in those authentic ahadith which are recorded in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim and the various other siha. Wa kafa billahi shahida, and sufficient is Allah as a witness, the writer Mirza Ghulam Ahmed. May Allah forgive him and help him. 17th August 1899. Maulvi Sahib writes that I have two intentions by narrating this incident. Firstly, that the faith of our Jamaat increases and so that they may acquire the same pleasure and happiness that those fortunate ones present here at that hour experienced, who testified with an honest heart that they acquired new faith. Secondly, that those who reject and think ill should contemplate and ponder with a cool heart over this oath that had been taken so openly, and whether this can be the state of a confident liar and fabricating feigner, and whether he can possess such courage to swear by God the Glorious in such a manner and in such a gathering. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Giving advice to the members of the Jamaat, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, I do not wish that some words be memorized like a parrot at the time of birth, i.e. the initiation. There is no benefit in that. Acquire knowledge for the purification of the soul, as this is what is needed, i.e. understand what the purification of the soul is, and then also apply it upon yourselves. This is not at all our purpose to quarrel and debate about the life and death of Jesus. This is a very minor issue, and it is not sufficient to stop here. This was a mistake which we have corrected. However, our task and our purpose is very far from this, and that is that you should bring about a change in yourselves and become a completely new person. Therefore, it is essential for each one of you to understand this secret and bring about such a change that he may be able to say that I am someone else. I reiterate that most certainly and definitely, until you do not stay in our company for a certain period, no one should consider that he has become someone else. It has no benefit at all. The promised Messiah further says, if the highest kind of purity of the nature, the condition of the mind and the condition of feelings is acquired, then it is something. Otherwise, it is nothing at all. Furthermore, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, if you are faithful, then be thankful and prostrate out of thankfulness as you are witnessing the era for which your pious forefathers have passed away while waiting for it, and countless souls have departed in its desire. Addressing the Muslims, the promised Messiah says, you have now witnessed that era. Now whether you appreciate it or not, and whether you benefit from it or not, is in your hands. I will mention it time after time, and I cannot refrain from disclosing that I am the one who was sent on time for the reformation of mankind, so that faith would be newly established in the hearts. I have been sent in similitude to the person who was sent after Moses, who was Kalimullah, the one who speaks to God, and whose soul was raised to heaven after suffering greatly during the time of the kingdom of Herod. Thus, when the second Kalimullah, i.e. the one who speaks to God, who is in fact the first and the chief of all prophets, came for the destruction of the other pharaohs, i.e. the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding whom it says, verily we have sent to you a messenger who is a witness over you, even as we sent a messenger to Pharaoh, and who in his task was similar to Moses, yet much higher in status than him, and was also promised the coming of someone to resemble the Messiah. And that Messiah, who acquiring the strength, nature and quality of the Messiah, son of Mary, descended at a time similar to his, very close to the period that lay between the time of Moses until the time of the Messiah, son of Mary, i.e. he descended from the heaven in the 14th century, and his descent was spiritual, as all people descend from heaven after the ascent for the reformation of the creation of God. He descended at a time which was similar to the time of the Messiah, son of Mary, from all aspects, so that this may be a sign for those who understand. Thus, everyone should refrain from being hasty in his rejection, so that he doesn't become one of those who oppose Allah the Exalted. The people of the world who have a dark mind and are stuck in their previous concepts, they will not accept him. However, that time is near, which will manifest to them their mistake. A warner came unto the world, but the world accepted him not. yet God will accept him and demonstrate his truthfulness with mighty onslaughts. Thus, we are fortunate that we have accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And by doing the bayt, we have made the pledge of bringing about pure changes in ourselves and applying the teachings of the Quran on ourselves. And we have pledged to join those who fall into prostration out of thankfulness, and not those who turn their eyes and pass by. This is God Almighty's blessing and favor upon us, that He has given life to us in this era in which the promised Messiah has appeared, and in which the revival of Islam began. And that dark time has passed away, which the earlier people were trapped in. That era, which is the era for the revival of Islam, in which we have been born, is the era for the revival of Islam, and waiting for which many pure souls have departed from this world. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has united us with the God who is a living God, who listens and speaks today as He listened and spoke in the past. And therefore, we should be thankful for this. I would also like to mention another thing with regards to this. In the recent days, some people were congratulating each other in relation to 23rd March via messages on mobile phones through WhatsApp. However, if they congratulated with this intention that we have accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the congratulation was out of thankfulness that by believing in the promised Messiah alayhi salam, we have joined those rightly guided Muslims who are the helpers of religion and those who spread its beauties in the world, then it was most certainly the right of those people to congratulate one another, and there is no harm in it. And nor is there any harmful innovation in this. However, I am astonished that among these messages, one person wrote a personal message in the form of a longer letter to one of those congratulating and strongly admonished him from doing so, and said that you will fall into harmful innovations like this, similar to other Muslims. I am astonished at this person, who, in my opinion, also possesses religious knowledge and is also aware of the Nizam of the Jamaat, i.e. the system of the Jamaat, then how can he say that one will fall into harmful innovations? The rest of the Muslims do not have the blessings of Khilafat as Ahmadis do. The Ahmadis have this blessing as a result of accepting the promised Messiah. Therefore, if anything wrong or any harmful innovation begins to emerge within the Jamaat, then if Khilafat is true and it is rightly guided, then it will, God willing, stop the problem. Then we must also pay attention to the fact that we must not doubt people's intentions. There is the hadith that deeds are judged by motives. Someone must have had a good intention behind it. Therefore, that person should only have spoken whilst keeping behind the shield of Khilafat, and do not try to reach beyond the standpoint of Khilafat. Keep this in mind, that whoever does so will slip up. Keep a unity and do not try to impose or force your own personal views on the members of the community. I will narrate an example for such people. The matter under concern is not something which may be a grave mistake, but we should look at what the stance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was regarding some of the other harmful innovations that are found amongst the Muslims. Once the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was asked about Qadai Umri, i.e. the prayers that people do on the final Friday prayer of Ramadan for all the 5 daily prayers that they have missed, or they perform their final Friday prayer of Ramadan and assume that they have been spared of all the other prayers. When the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was questioned regarding this practice, he responded by saying that this is undoubtedly futile. But he also said that once in the time of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a person was praying outside of the prescribed times for prayers. And Hazrat Ali was asked why he does not stop that person. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu responded, I fear that I may come to be held to account under the verse, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى, i.e. hast thou seen him who forbids a servant of ours when he prays? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam said that yes, it is true that a person does commit an unlawful act if he intentionally avoids his prayers to leave them for the day of Qazai Umri. And if he, out of his remorse, does the prayers as a means of correcting his past mistakes, then let him do so. Why do you stop him? After all, he is making a prayer. Yes, it is certain that there is a lack of resolve in doing so. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that be careful, for you may also be held accountable under this verse. Therefore, the person who actually had the right to pass an edict, he was so careful in doing so. However, this person is spreading news of great warnings and is passing edicts on matter of people simply congratulating one another. If he had any reservations, he should have written to me. And if somebody must be stopped, then it is the responsibility of the Khalifa of the time to stop them, or to stop them through the system established in the community. May God Almighty enable us all to understand and act according to the purpose for which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was sent. After the prayers, I will also lead some funeral prayers. The first funeral prayer is of Mahmooda Sadi Sahiba, who was the wife of late Musleddin Sadi Sahib. She passed away at the age of 94 on 22nd March 2016. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. Her husband, Musleddin Sadi Sahib, was the brother of Mukarram Abdul Rahim Dar Sahib, who was an Imam of the Fazl Mosque here in London, and did a lot of work here. Sadi Sahib had passed away in 1965. His widow spent 41 years of widowhood with great patience and gratitude. One of her sons, who has also passed away, has served as assistant private secretary in the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III. Another son, Jalal Akbar Sahib, who lives here in the UK, and served as Naib Secretary Ziafat. The deceased had great affection and devotion for Khilafat. She was enthusiastic about Tabligh and had passion for learning and teaching the Holy Quran. She prayed fervently and had the qualities of patience and gratefulness. Since the past 6 years, she had been ill and spent her time with much patience and gratitude. The deceased was a Musia. May Allah the Almighty elevate her status, and may Ahmadiyyat continue in her progeny with earnestness and sincerity. The second funeral prayer is of Nuruddin Chiragh Sahib, who was the son of late Chiraghuddin Sahib of Qadian. He was 45 years old when on 15th March 2016 he suffered from a heart attack and passed away. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. He was also from Qadian and was living in the UK for over 10 years. There was great simplicity in his nature. And his sister writes that since childhood he had experienced poverty. Therefore, when he was granted provision by God, miserliness never overcame him and he would always provide financial help to people. A diary has been found belonging to him, which contains a mention of 47 people he would regularly provide financial support to. A non-Ahmadi has also highly praised him, saying that he was a very honest and angelic person. He was very regular in his prayers and had a very strong attachment with Khilafat, and was a person who respected the seniors of the community. The mother and other family members of the deceased are in Qadian. May Allah the Almighty raise his status and grant patience and strength to the bereaved. And may Allah the Almighty especially grant comfort to his mother. There is also one funeral prayer in absentia, which is of Sayyida Mubarakah Begum Sahiba, wife of Abdul Bari Sahib Taalukdar Bengali. She passed away on the 20th March 2016 at the age of 83. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She had been ill for some time. She was born in Bihar and was the daughter of Sayyid Musa Raza of Bahgalpur, Bihar. Her father accepted Ahmadiyyat in the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II at the age of 15. She got married to Abdul Bari Sahib Taalukdar and they went to East Pakistan after the partition of India. Abdul Bari Sahib also accepted Ahmadiyyat in the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II in 1946. After the creation of Bangladesh, they moved to Rabwa and her husband Bari Sahib served for over 20 years in the homeopathic dispensary in Fazli Umar Hospital, which was being run under the Waqf-e Jadid scheme. Her son is also here, Abdul Khaliq Sahib Bengali, who is very well known and greatly serves the Jamaat. Abdul Bari Sahib has sent his wife and children to Rabwa to learn Urdu. In Bangladesh, when it was East Pakistan, she was living a very comfortable life and she had many servants. However, they came to Rabwa for the sake of their children and for good upbringing. They then stayed in Rabwa so that their children may learn Urdu and to learn much more about the Jamaat and to be closer to Khilafat. In this respect, she made sacrifices and may Allah the Almighty elevate her status and may her children fulfill the desires of their mother, for which she made the sacrifices and came to live in Rabwa. As I've mentioned, I will lead these three funeral prayers after the Friday prayer.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله